So, kiddo, it's been 6 months actually. Because the last time I saw you, it was my birthday weekend in La Union. That was March 8th. That was
Oh,
right
really?
be yeah, that was right before
Wow,
the pandemic.
that
Right
was pretty
before.
close.
Yep. And I
You almost
remember,
got
I
stranded.
almost got, I can't, I honestly, I wish I stayed. Because so many people were saying extend, extend. And I'm like, nah, I'll just come back next weekend. And then the lockdown started. Crazy.
There was no next weekend.
There's no next weekend, man. But how are you? How's life in La Union now? What's happening?
It's good. I mean, obviously we've had the last 6 months to decompress from the shock of facing a pandemic. I guess we've been able to position ourselves in every way, like emotionally, business-wise. We've been able to kind of plan, and as a family, I think we've been able to adjust. I think family-wise, I can say it's been quite positive, or it's the silver lining. I won't say that. It's always awkward to say that we're experiencing all these positive things when the truth is it's a serious situation. But as a family, I think, as a family, we've spent a lot of time together. Not that we weren't spending a lot of time, pero babad siya, especially during the extended community, sorry, the enhanced community quarantine, right? So now things have returned to a bit more normalcy. Like, we're doing school with the kids 4 times a week. We're at the shop 5 days a week, and then we still take 2 days off. So one day the shop is closed, and then one day is our day off. We've moved a lot of our energy towards e-commerce, and that's been doing pretty well. I mean, relative to the, I mean, it's been helping keep us afloat, and hopefully the worst is over in terms of retail and tourism. But you never know. It's a pandemic, right?
It's a pandemic. That's the thing. You can you got to constantly pivot. But I'm curious about, I guess, like throughout this last 6 months, like what are the things that you started to enjoy doing? I know you've been gardening and like, but what other stuff have you been like, I guess keeping yourself busy with?
One of the resolutions I made during the quarantines was that I would play more of the piano. Yeah, I decided that I would. I play a lot of guitar, but I thought that, I've neglected the piano, and because I had the time, I practiced a little bit. I honestly have kind of stepped aside from it because of work, but I'm glad that I was able to kind of get the fingers back in
That's
action
great,
for
man.
piano. It's my first instrument, but I've neglected it, so that's one. Yeah, I think we're gonna get into kind of philosophy and spirituality and stuff, which obviously time affords you a lot of meandering through
It
those
does.
pathways, too. So,
It really does. When playing the piano, I think it's like there's something about using your hands, which I feel is, I mean, especially playing an instrument, like it's a spiritual experience. And I think you'd be able to relate to this
Definitely.
because you are into music and you do make coffee as well. And you work a lot with your hands on a daily basis. And I'm curious how, I guess, how do you see that in like a spiritual aspect? Like, especially now that time has slowed down a lot, like days feel like years, like
For
weeks feel
sure.
like, it's crazy. It's like time has bent.
It's kind of folded in a weird way, and like, while I know that it's been quite a while since you were here, it feels far away, but it also feels like we've jumped here. It's like it's been quite monotonous the last 6 months for all of us, right? Things have remained quite this, like our routines have just been quite routinary and a very predictable rhythm because we're at home, right? So it's, it's one of those weird things. But I think the question about spirituality, like, I think that, playing the piano is, and playing music, it's a great way to say things that you couldn't say with words, and say things and express feelings that you may not even be able to articulate to yourself in thought and in meditation. So it's able, sometimes, it's not the first time that I've gone to the piano to kind of come to terms with myself or make sense of life. There was a season in my life when I was moving, kind of evolving the spirituality I grew up in, which was a very rigid form of Catholic Christianity, and I think that music was really one of the anchor points for me, both an anchor point, and I think it was like something untouchable, you know, that was not affected, but rather affected me in this spiritual journey. It's always been there, and I'll always kind of like lean on it times when I feel like I need a little bit of security, expression. Since you mentioned spirituality, I think the reason why I feel music is, I think I'm reclaiming that part of my life, because I think we've grown up to, we've been raised in a very kind of colonial or imperial capitalistic psychology, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
And we see, you know what I mean? And we see ourselves as these fractured things, like my emotional life, my mental life, my spiritual life, they're fractured. And it's not really an Eastern way of thinking. And we are kind of Asian people. We're tribal folks, you know? And even the Christian faith was founded in the East, if you want to be technical about it. It's much more Asian in its roots than I think that the branch that we came from or were grafted into came from a more European frame of mind. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that music is a way to express the integration of my mind and my body and my spirit and all these things that, you know, we're taught to kind of compartmentalize. And music kind of like, it's mathematical, but it's also artistic, you know?
Yeah, no, I love that.
It's, I have to think, but I also have to feel. And if I'm not doing one of those things, it goes wrong. And it teaches me to kind of respect those distinctions and practice those distinctions. You know, you're into yoga.
Yeah.
I've been kind of holding on to that term of practicing something. It's kind of been a byword for me lately. So that's kind of what music has been for me. And it's been a very positive, it's always been a positive thing. It's one of the few things that never really turned negative.
Yeah.
Because everything can turn negative. Business, I think faith.
Yeah.
Faith. Even family has its kind of, has its moments. I think music, I can get into a creative rut, I think. I guess because it's shallow enough and deep enough. You know, it can be shallow if you want it to be shallow.
Exactly.
It can be deep if you want it to be deep. And it's a good companion in that way. It's a good discipline to have.
I totally agree with you. Because like, I mean, you know, we like to sing as humans. And, you know, I like singing out of the pleasure of singing. But I started taking voice lessons during this pandemic. And not to, like, be a singer. More like because I want to discover, like, my voice. Like, what is it capable of doing? And ever since I started doing it, I feel like it's changed a lot of my perspectives on music, on the way I listen to music, on the way I try to, like, even talk. Where the air is. So there's a lot of like science behind it, but at the same time, you know, you also can't really overthink it because you got to feel it. And I think it has a lot to do with like, I guess even prayer. You know, I mean, you said that you read the book as well that I'm reading now, the Jesuit book, and you know, I feel like it framed it so well because like we were, you know, you were raised very Christian. I was raised Opus Dei. So, you know, it's very similar tangents. Mm-hmm. And I think that, it was very, how do you say this? Very rigid for me, in my opinion. It was very rigid, very stifling. But now when I sing on my own, I realize that in itself is a form of prayer. You know, it's not directed. You're not asking for anything. You're just expressing yourself. You know, to whatever wherever you're at, if you're sad, if you're happy, and I think that's, you gotta honor that, because if not, parang you're just gonna be beating yourself up constantly, like, oh man, I feel so guilty, like I can't believe I didn't do this right. You know what I mean? Because like the beauty comes in the sometimes the pain, sometimes the bliss, the euphoria, and I'm sure you feel that too when you play the piano and even when you like interact with your friends and customers, right? It's a spiritual experience.
Yeah, I think that I'm of the belief, and again, it's very much a belief, because how can you prove spirituality except that you feel that there's something else? There's another layer to this. And I'm very cognizant of that fact. I think I've resisted those truths are those realities or potential realities? Again, in the fallout of my faith, I guess. Like, I did fall out. Maybe I'm still falling out, or just evolving in flux, you know?
Yep.
But you're right about singing. Like, taking it back to that topic is because that action, I think, the action of singing is kind of, it's your first instrument. It's what nature has given you. If
yeah.
you believe in God, it's what God has given you. And, you know, everything in the natural order has a, you know, all these fauna that we see, the birds, the animals have their own kind of voice. I'm a big fan of you taking voice lessons. I want to hear it.
one day you will.
I want to see a performance. But you know what I like? You know what I like about that, though, is that I like that you're claiming music in private, because, you know, like to a bird or to a dog howling or something, right? Like, there's, you know, the evening here in La Union, at least, there's a chorus of noisy dogs at like 2 a.m. and it's fucking annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
But the thing with animals is that there isn't a performative thing about their voice.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But at the same time, if they were performing, it would be pretty cool. Like,
yep.
Right? And I think that's, I like what you're doing, like exploring your voice. I remember growing up not thinking I could sing because I grew up in a family and in a church community that was very good at music and compared myself constantly. And I think that when we, you know, to make an analogy of finding your voice, right? Like, finding your voice is kind of stopping that habit of comparing yourself to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, when you sing, you've kind of just, you have to kind of be like, you know what? This is Nikki's voice. For the good and the bad, this is the
yeah.
voice I've got. Like, I can't go out and buy another voice.
Yeah,
I can go out and buy another guitar. Yeah, I can go out and buy another set of drums if I don't like these ones. Or even, you know, in electronic music, you can patch all sorts of things onto your instrument, even your voice. But your voice itself, it is what it is, right? And there's a degree of acceptance in, I think, coming to terms with how we sing.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I love when my kids sing. When one of them will use their singing voice, there's a romance to it that kind of tugs at the heart of a parent that's unlike anything, right? Even their crying is kind of like music.
Yeah. It evokes an emotion.
It speaks of longing. It speaks
yeah.
of need. It's not unlike the songs that we sing. It's just that we learn different ways of wielding that voice or using that voice, claiming that for yourself and participating in it. Again, music and singing are complicated for me because I did have a rough exit from the church at some point. And I was very big into music. And sometimes when I do sing, you know, I'm using muscles and parts of myself that remind me, like physically remind me of the feeling. Like when I sweat from singing a lot, I remember certain things. Like, it just, this you know how
yeah.
triggers work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so moving to La Union and making music with Sila Mia and Sila Wendell and all these friends that have, you know, Sila Mateo, you know these
yeah,
people.
Yeah.
It was a way for me to find my voice when I guess my beliefs and my spirituality and my faith were very uncertain and shaky terms. And learning to sing again was very important to me, even if it wasn't for hundreds or sometimes the thousands of people that I was used to singing with.
Yeah.
Just singing for 5 people was just as fulfilling. And it was, I would say that some of my greatest singing moments were not performing or not being with an audience or being with a really great band. It was just being connected with friends, using our stupid, drunken voices often and our flailing, you know, our failing
yeah.
fingers because we had drank too much. But there is a very spiritual thing about voice and about singing.
No,
I think I totally agree.
I think everyone
should get into.
Yeah.
Listeners.
Yeah, really. I think that's like, you know, like when people, I'm very candid about it when people ask, what are you up to during this pandemic? And I'm like, oh, I'm taking voice lessons. Oh, I did ballet. You know, like, because like, I feel like maybe a couple of years ago, there would be a lot of self-consciousness because it's like you're trying to preserve this image of you. But I feel like this pandemic has made us realize that life is short. Do whatever it is, not just what you want, but what scares you the most. And ballet and singing scared the shit out of me.
Wow.
But like doing it was so hard, challenging, but like fulfilling. Like it made me feel alive. And you know, I think that's sort of like I'm really discovering that like this new path we're in. Like I love what you said about like how animals don't have this performance like mindset, and with us humans there's always am I gonna get likes, are people gonna watch my video, like my photo? But like with me, this is just for me. Like I'm not recording my classes, you know what I mean? It's really just me and one person watching me intimately, you know what I mean? Like in my room. So it's really it's such an intense experience, but it's so I look forward to it, honestly. Once a week I do it and it's just so gratifying because it's like I'm out of my comfort zone, you know? There's no way to like, you don't really have like training wheels. You just kind of need to like, all right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Are you going to sample for us?
Not yet. Like I'm really, you know, the strange thing about, for me, it's so new to me. Like the last music class I went to, I was in grade school. You know what I mean? Those were the last, that was the last time. And now, parang when she's being technical about my voice, it's like she keeps saying, sing from your diaphragm. Like take it from, like engage your core. I'm like, really? I'm going to engage my core as I sing? It's like, it's just like a foreign thing to me, and it's just cool. It's cool how the body really affects it. Like your voice is really an instrument, like a very complex instrument, and I think that's it's super cool, man. It's super cool.
Yeah, I think there's no coincidence that, you know, sacred music, and whether it's liturgical music that we have grown up with in Catholicism or Christianity. Or, you know, the other faith traditions, singing is a big part of that ritual. And I think that it's kind of a common thread that we can all cling to, and we can all kind of agree about that singing. You know, we may not agree about a lot of things on the kind of ethical side or the moral side, or on the dogma can divide us, but I think that we can look at a lot of these practices line up, like we gather together. It's one of the things we miss the most, this gathering together.
Yeah,
and then we gather together for music, right? We gather together in a church or in a mosque, sometimes just sing or chant something, right? And I think that it's a thread that humanity can claim, and it can help us get along. It's a non-threatening thing, and it's at the same time very vulnerable, right?
I'm
sure you singing to your coach, how do you feel when she's like on like the first 5 minutes of this lesson, how did you feel?
Dude, I was like, can I turn off my video? Like I was telling her, I feel so like self-conscious, so insecure, like I was like, I only sing in the bathroom. Like, how am I going to sing to someone, a professional singer, who's basically coaching me? It was so weird. But, like, it takes time, eh? I mean, I had a class today, and I'd like to think, you know, that nerves are in the same frequency as excitement. You know, like, it's the same thing. You need that. It's just, it's fuel. It gives you adrenaline. It gets you into that, like, flow state, which I think are necessary if you really want to connect when you're like doing something creative, like singing.
I like that. Nerves and excitement are, it's kind of in that same frequency is what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know this, surfing, man. It's nerves and excitement at the same time, you know? Like,
together.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's hard to extricate which one is nerves, which is excitement.
Yeah, because I think you could totally wipe out, you could get hurt, but at the same time, you get a really long, good ride. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes it's happening all at the same time. And I think that's why surfing's a spiritual experience in itself. I mean,
I would say so, yeah. Yeah, I think sport is another thing where, you know, Ami and I always laugh about the emotions that people attach to sports, and sometimes it's laughable. Like she'll tell me, you know, the only thing that sometimes with dudes, diba, to like draw a stereotype. Sometimes with dudes, the only time you can see them get kind of show some emotion is when you talk about Kobe or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's some truth in there if you comb through it. Again, the integration of our whole self, like using my body to be fit, to be well, to reach for an objective, right? Or to paddle for a wave, or to kind of get better at this craft, right? To understand the ocean. All of these physical things that we kind of subject ourselves to, they are at this simultaneously and not extricated from our emotional, mental, and spiritual realities, right? And I think that's why we do them. That's why we feel like I've been going to Rafi Castillo's new gym.
I've been seeing you.
yeah. And I'm not, I mean, I love sport, don't get me wrong. I love surfing. I think that surfing is kind of my art/craft/sport. I don't know what you call it. But I didn't see myself joining something until Rafi opened it like literally 100 meters from my house. So I have no excuse.
Yeah.
And then he's
my
friend. The pandemic rates were really, really easy to... My kids just walked in.
Yeah, all good, man. All
good. The pandemic rates were affordable. Like, here's one of them.
Hey.
Hi, Adam.
Oh, Adam's so big now. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So I started doing it, and it's... it's funny in that I'm big, you know, Ami will joke me that, oh, you're like one of those dudes who's really emotional about his workouts. You're always talking about it. And then Sherpa, I'm trying to downplay that. No, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not that corny. Like, I'm not cheesy like that. But at the same, but if we, again, peel apart the packaging of the veneer that I'm trying to, you know, to show to my own wife. But we show veneers to ourselves. If you peel behind it, there's a truth to, I guess, the connection of all things. Like I'm feeling well, when my body is doing well, when I'm feeling strong, it speaks to my emotions. It speaks to a lot
That's
of
so
other
true.
Things.
That's so true. Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned Kobe. And then you also mentioned that you like the Phil Jackson book, Sacred Hoops.
Well, I haven't fully gone through it. I'm a fan of Phil Jackson.
Yeah,
I've read
I'm
here
a big
and there
fan too. Yeah, same. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I was that guy before. Like, I was super into basketball up to like maybe second year college, and then I totally just dropped out. I was like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to hear about UAP, NBA, nothing. But ironically enough, like, so I've been staying at my mom's house in the family compound, and there's a basketball court right here. So for some reason I started picking up a ball again, and I've been playing a lot, and it's been such a strange meditative experience hearing the ball swish into the net, you know, dribbling, just kind of like getting out of your mind, getting out of your emotions. And then I started reading up more on Kobe's journey, on The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, with Phil Jackson, and I never ever saw the parallelisms of I guess the spiritual path to being a professional basketball player or a basketball coach. But it is, you know, like to get into that flow state, to get into your, you know, to really push your body to the limit, because of there's a higher purpose. It's not for, not to like destroy your body, not to like, it's not for vanity. It's because you want to be the best player in the NBA, or you want to be the best athlete in the world. You know what I mean? Like that kind of intention, I think that fuels like the, you know, it's like adrenaline when you're like in a burning house. You're going to be able to crash through the door and jump and not feel the pain. You know what I mean? And I think that's such a such a visceral experience, diba. And I think, I mean, I'm curious, like when you make coffee, when there's a rush, you get into a zone, right? Like you kind of like, it's not thinking, no, you're just reacting because it's muscle memory, it's adrenaline rushing through you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you go back to our, I guess our crafts or our trades, sometimes it's just, it's dirty, ugly work sometimes. And, you know, like in the coffee industry, people will look at our shop sometimes and, you know, I'll always tell our baristas, like, you know, sometimes we can get a little bit, we can take for granted sometimes how busy our shop gets and how people appreciate it. and not see that a lot of people in the same independent food and beverage movement would kill for that many people at the door. And sometimes we will forget gratitude. We'll forget grace and kindness because there's hundreds of people at our doorstep, you know, and people can be demanding. It can be hot. We want, you know, you've been to La Union when it's, yeah, when it's crazy. Yeah. Like there's, yeah, tons of drunk kids, hungover people. Sometimes people can be impolite, but you have to get into this territory where, again, you're pulling everything together and you're deciding like, this is who I am. This is who the job needs me to be. You know, attached to my job and my motivation is my family, right? Yeah. For a single person, it would be their, you know, sustaining themselves, their sense of pride and dignity in themselves, independence from their parents maybe. And these are things that it's helpful to draw from when we are exercising a trade. And I think that, again, if you peel back the layers of business and trade and crafts, there is a spiritual, if you want to call it, thread in it. But it even permeates that. Or if you want to just be kind of functional and utilitarian about it, you can use a spiritual framework to be better at your work and be like, okay, I'm going to go through the rituals and disciplines that I need to go through. I'm going to breathe well. I'm going to get enough rest. I'm going to be well exercised. And these are things that we do tell our staff. Like, you know, if you're getting fucked up on Saturday evening and you're on opening shift at 6 a.m, like, there's no way that you're going to serve people well for the next 6 hours, sure, right? And I think that speaks to the integration of the whole person, right? Yeah. That we aren't just a body. We aren't just our emotions. Like, when your body is tired, your emotions suffer. And when your emotions suffer, your trade suffers.
Yeah,
exactly. And when your trade suffers, you know, the things that rely on that, my rent potentially suffers, right?
Yeah.
The things that I can afford, that I want in life, can, and it's all connected. And I think that, yeah, that's a great thing that we're being reminded of in these times. Like, now that things are chilled out at the coffee shop, everybody misses that rush. Mm. You know, the baristas are so used to serving hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And trying their best to be nice, you know. And I think that we do have passing grades most of the time. But these days when there's not that many people, it reminds you of virtues and values that you should hold on to, like gratitude. Yeah. Like, you know what, this thing could go under and the circus could go home if not enough people come through our doors. So when people do come through our doors, I'm going to give them my best. I'm going to enter the playing field ready to play. I'm going to practice and be on point because, you know, we're valuing, I guess in negative space, we're taught to value these positive things that, you know, that we had and may have taken for granted. And again, I don't want to say that the pandemic, I'm not one of those people that says the pandemic is a good thing. Like, oh, the earth is healing. Like, yes and no, right? There's good and bad to it. And we have to look at it always in those, you know, for the yin and yang, good.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of negative there and the bad and a bit of positive. And I think that the pandemic has definitely, from I guess in the sphere of work, or in that cell of my life called work, like, it has again integrated these values and virtues that we hold dear and forced us, I think, even as a company, to examine claims that we make about being for the people and for humans. Now in the face of limited resources, we had to adjust everything at work. We had to adjust the business model. You know, we instituted a universal basic income, and managers like us took the biggest pay cuts.
Yeah.
We paid the same as the guys on the line in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And this was all, these are all, it wasn't just a business decision. It was actually an ethical and a decision made from our convictions. And you might even want to call it a spiritual decision if you were that kind of person. Like, it was based on a faith in something that we couldn't see. Like, why would you stay in business? Why would you stay open? You should just bank your cash and not put people to work because you're entering into this risky scenario where you could bleed out. But we told ourselves, listen, we know what kind of people we are. We know why we started this company. It was for very human reasons. It was from us, from a place of love. First for our own family, and now an extended family that includes our team. And the least we could do was fight for that, right?
Oh,
and
that.
And enter the arena and play, where 90%, I think, of places to eat and drink in our neighborhood are shut, I think. Yeah. So and our industry is, you know, on the brink of a real disaster. But we told ourselves, listen, if we're gonna go out, we're gonna go out like this.
Yeah.
And it could still happen. We could, I mean, we could potentially run ourselves dry. But I wanna do it that way. And there's nothing telling us to do that except a belief in something, a belief in people, a belief in values of living life on your terms, right? A belief in love, a belief that our staff are as important as us. Like if we were to shut the doors and say, okay, we got to preserve all of our resources, there's nothing wrong in that. There's no shame, right? A lot of businesses have had to do that. But for us, we just looked at that and said, that's not us. We want to give it a shot. We want to try. We develop other avenues of our business, like the e-commerce side, and we now deliver nationwide. And that happened in the pandemic, but it came from a very human, visceral place, right? And I think that it was sparked from an invisible place. Like, why do we believe what we believe? That's a massive discussion, right?
Yeah.
We just have a hunch that this could mean something important.
It's that hunch, but
and
the hunch
so gonna,
is the whisper, you can't make sense of it, but it's really... Mm. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Like, really. Like, I'm so happy to hear, like, you know, your story with your business and with, you know, your family and friends. And it's all intertwined. And really, I think now, you know, I think people need to hear more of these, like, human stories. You know, it's really not about the money. I mean, it's about taking care of people. Because, like, you know, money comes and goes, as this whole pandemic has shown. But, like, I'm so happy that, like, you know, like, things have played out this way for you, like in terms of like really embracing, you know, your beliefs. And yeah, man, thanks so much for joining. Like, I know it's been a ride the past couple of months, but hopefully, like, we get to see each other sooner than later. The borders open up a bit more, but I'm actually
hope to have you back here soon.
I am actually. I'm gonna be there next month.
We can,
like,
catch up. It's surf season again.
Yeah, like the timing's like perfect, and at least now the protocols are in place. Now people are just, you know, following that. So hopefully, but it'll be a good break from Manila.
Yeah. You know what? That's another thing. Like, you know, us, we're in F&B. They're gathering places. We are outdoors. Fortunately, we're. Kind of, there's a lot of outdoor space, but one of our, you know, I'll see people who visit and they'll be a bit shy to say, okay, I came from this or that province, you know, I'm just passing through, I'm from Manila, but I've got work here, you know, you'll see a lot of disclaimers, and I always kind of set them at ease and tell them, guys, you know what, we're happy to have you, we trust that if you're here, you're responsible and you're going to do the right thing, and you don't have to be ashamed. And I think that that's the only way forward in a society where institutions are failing us, but I have never seen us try to come through for each other on the small scale more than we have now. But it's also a shining moment when, like, you know, you've seen my critiques of government and institutions and even capitalism and stuff, and those critiques remain. But I think that we can kind of, I don't want to use war rhetoric and say fight the battle. Fight a battle. I think that we can win this challenge if we to think a bit smaller and trust one another and tell each other that, you know what, I trust that you're looking out for my health and you're looking out for your health. I think that spirituality pervades these values again that spirituality affords us, but they kind of have even greater relevance in these times.
No, totally, man. I love how you put it, how you said that, because I really think that it's that. You know, like, you know, the little things that you, you know, for me, like when a Grab driver, you know, just, I love that now there's an option. Yeah, like buy your Grab driver a meal or like a drink, you know, it's like, it's really about that. Eh. Just parang, I mean,
right.
I think that's where your values are going to show like when, and especially with like high pressure moments like this that we're in now, it's really, it's gonna show like, I mean, what do you value the most, you know, like what's important to you, money, or is it like you know, the health of your employees, your family, your friends? And it's really, well, it boils down to that, you know. Kiddo, yeah, thanks so much, man, for joining me tonight, man. Really enjoyed this very inspiring conversation.
We'll have more when you get up here.
For sure, man. For sure. Looking forward to it. Yeah, forward to it.
At the beach.
At the beach.
Yep.
Gotta be at, I haven't seen the beach in 6 months. So
yeah, yeah, you'll, looking you'll, forward to you'll it. Appreciate it more than ever.
Super,
yeah.
super.
Cool, man.
Give my regards to Amy, the kids, and I'll see you soon, man.